Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the parable that has just been read from Luke chapter 15. And in this parable we see the compassion of your Father. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, when you hear the word compassion, something comes to your mind, someone comes to your mind. You know, the greatest compassion that anyone could have for anyone, anywhere, is that they would be willing to die for them. The person that you just thought of, would they be willing to die for you? My dear friends, today, at the conclusion of this sermon, it is my prayer that when you hear of compassion, that you think of only one. You think of only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For He sent His Son, and He was willing to die for you. And that is compassion. Even though our Father is full of compassion, yet you and I, we run from the Father. In this life, there are many temptations and there are many delights of this world. In the parable today, we hear of a young man who didn't want to live under the Father's roof. He didn't want to follow the Father's rules. He wanted to do things his way. He wanted to go out into the world and live according to his plan and his thoughts and his ideas. You see, his heart wasn't with the Father whatsoever. He wants to go out, and my friends, he wants to go out very quickly. Thus, the sinner, this young man, you and me, we always have this desire. We have this desire to do things the way we want to do them and not the way that God says we are to do them. We don't want to follow the Father's rules. We want to live according to our own rules. We don't want to be a member of the church. We don't want to be a member of the communion of saints. We'd rather go out and live in the world and enjoy the world. Young people here this morning, you must listen to this. John writes in his first epistle, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever." So what's the result? Have you ever seen this? A candle sitting out on a dark night, and flying up to the candle is a moth. What does the moth do? It's attracted by the brightness. It's attracted by the heat. It's attracted by the beauty of the flame. And what does it do? It flies smack dab into the flame. Gone. Dead. Young folks, that's the desires of this world. That's the beauty of this world. That's the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. The world will entice you. It will entice you with so many wonderful things. But then you fly into the flame. And when you fly into the flames, what will happen? Death. In this case, spiritual death. You've been warned. Be careful. Be careful of the temptations of this world. For they will trap you. And one day, you just may find yourself flying right in to the flame. What's the result? Well, the result is we see in our parable this morning. The young man wanted to take his father's inheritance. In other words, telling his father, I don't care about you, Dad. I wish you were dead. Give me my inheritance. I want it right now. And he goes out and he lives the wild life. He becomes a spendthrift. And I don't have to tell you what he spends his money on. Solomon writes for us, the man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. You see, the young man went out and he lived a wild life, but then he found out very quickly that it's nothing. It's empty. There's nothing to it. He finds himself lost in this distant land, this wilderness of the world. And the riches of the world, my friends, you know this. Our young people must understand this. The riches of this world will never, ever last. There will be a day when you will one day die. I will die and you will die. And all your riches will remain. For we came into this world with nothing, and it is certain we will leave this world with nothing. You see the glitz and the glamour, it quickly fades to black. And what is left? You are left alone. Nothing to fall back on. There is no foundation. You sink in the mud and mire of this world. All is lost. The money is gone. The friends are gone. The pleasure is gone. What is left? Your own deep degradation, your sin. All those wonderful things that you can only dream about have become your nightmare. We see in our text this morning that the young man leaves and he does exactly as you've just heard. It becomes so bad that finally there's a famine in the land. God's judgment comes upon the young man. And that judgment, and in that judgment, all is lost. His money is gone, as you heard. His friends are gone. There's no more pleasure. And then the young man has a choice. His only choice. He glues himself to the people of that distant land. He glues himself to a pagan. He glues himself to the world. The example that I used in adult Bible class is if I had a black piece of paper and a small little piece of paper, also black, and I glued it to the black paper, you wouldn't be able to see the difference. That's the danger, my friends. You as a Christian have been given the white robe of righteousness. And then you go out into the world and you muddy it up. You turn it black because of your sin, because of your refusal to seek repentance and the forgiveness of your sins. You'd rather live in the muck and mire, the mud of this world. So when you join yourself to the world, people don't know who you are. They don't know that you're a Christian. All they see is just another man of the world, another pagan, another person to be taken advantage of. The man becomes a servant to sin. And that's what happens when we leave the church. We stop living under the Father's roof, following His law, hearing His gospel, partaking of His food. We join ourselves to the world. And we, even though we may say we're a Christian, we aren't living like a Christian. No one knows you're a Christian. All they see is just another pagan. What's left is that you're living with the pigs, just like this young man. His life is so deep in sin that all is left for him is the final abomination. For a Jew, this is the most horrible thing that you could do, is to live and feed pigs, to live like a pig and even to eat their food. The young man finally realizes that he is starving to death. The Greek word is the same word that is used in Revelation for the destroyer, Satan. The young man comes to find out that he has destroyed his life. He's starving. He's starving to death spiritually. The food of the world, my young friends, is no good. The food of this world will destroy you. There is no nutrition in any of the sins of this world. Rather, you too will starve to death if you want to partake of the food of the world. Jesus says that he is eating pods. Pods that were given to the pigs. These are carob pods from the carob tree. A long, thin pod that when it ripens, you break it open. And it looks nice and sweet inside. It looks like honey. Just like the food of this world. It looks sweet. It may even taste sweet. But there's no nutrition. There are absolutely no nutrients in the carob pods. And this is what the young man is left to feed upon. Finally, the Lord drives him to repent. The young man hits rock bottom. He's laying face down into the mud and mire of this world, and he realizes his life is just about gone. And he has a choice: repent or die. And my young friends, if you join yourself to the world, you'll get there because your pastor was there one day. I hit rock bottom and I realized all that I've been taught in the church, I had forgotten about. But the Lord has a way of getting our attention. When we're laying face down in the mud and mire of this world, we realize that all that Satan promises is a lie. There's true remorse. There's true repentance. What do we hear today in the introit? Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost parts. The Lord comes. The Lord finds us. And he convicts the heart. He reminds us of what he has done. He reminds us that, my dear child, I have died for you. Why are you a slave to sin once again? I have set you free. Stand up. Act like a man. Repent of your sin. And come back to me. For I am calling you. For I have found you. Come and live. You see, as that young man was confessing in his heart, the Father had already come. The Father had come running to him. And this is exactly the picture that we see in the parable this morning. You know, in the ancient world, for a father to run to his children was unheard of. For they wore those long flowing robes, and you can't run in them. Just as Hayden and myself. The only way that we could run in this robe is to hike it up to our waist and start running. And for a man to do that in ancient Israel was unheard of. Yet the father comes running. He comes running to his son. The father comes running to you. And what does he say to his son? There is forgiveness. There is no condemnation. God leads the young man to openly confess his sins. And when the father reaches his son, he throws his arms around him and he kisses him and he rejoices. That's the Father's compassion. And that's the Father's compassion for each and every one of you. The Father has great compassion. And he has shown that compassion to you. He freely offers his perfection and his obedience to you. He himself sent his Son to satisfy the law here on the cross for you. And because Jesus has done this for you, he has opened heaven to you. He therefore welcomes you back. He welcomes you back into his home. He proclaims to you that you are an heir. He washes you clean in the blood of the Lamb. The mud and mire is gone. It's once again a white robe of righteousness. He puts a ring of betrothal upon your finger. He gives you shoes to wear, for you are a son. And he gives you a turban to wear, for it is a turban, a crown of honor. God has done all of this for you. He gives you the royal robe. He gives you shoes to wear, a ring to wear, and a turban upon your head. He has done all of this for you because of his compassion. Because of his compassion for you. Paul writes to the Galatians and says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, having clothed yourself with Christ." So what gives you the right to go out and muddy the robes of Christ? To live a life of sin, of deep degradation. To live like a pagan. My friends, you are a Christian. Live as a Christian. Confess your sins. Come and receive food that is nutritious for you. Food that has come down from heaven. Food that will feed your soul. Food that announces to you that all your sins are forgiven. For you are special people. For you have been baptized into Christ Jesus. My friends, just as the Father served his Son, the fattened calf, so today, the Son, Jesus Christ, is here to serve you his heavenly food. He is here today to give you his body and blood. It is spiritual food that nourishes your soul. It is spiritual food that relieves your soul of all of the aches and pains of this world. It is a spiritual food for the forgiveness of all your sins. Jesus himself tells you, "Take, eat, this is my flesh." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Yes, what you're receiving today is the flesh and blood of your Savior, given to you, the blood of the covenant, the blood of a new covenant, the blood that has washed you clean. And when you eat and drink today, my friends, you're receiving real food, true food, heavenly food that nourishes your soul. You were once lost. I was once lost. But now we have all been found. We have all been found because of the great love and compassion of your Father. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.